Happy anniversary, Raina.
Happy anniversary, bestie. Guys, welcome back.
Welcome back.
We're back. I'm so excited. It's been a summer. It's like very twilight out today, although it's hot.
Yeah, so, but hot, rainy, twilight in the south.
Twilight looking.
We pretty much live in the forks of the south, low-key.
Oh my god, why do I love that? The Appalachia is just the forks of the south.
Literally, like, there's fog on the mountains today. We saw a rusted red truck driving down the street. God.
Yeah, I called it out. I was like, okay, Bella's truck.
Yeah.
It just had, like, the top for the bed. Well, it was, like, all one, but it was, like, a different kind of truck. Yeah. But it looked, if it didn't have that part, it would have looked like Bella's
truck.
Do
we need to write a Southern Appalachian vampire story?
What do you mean? How would we?
I don't know. I'm just, wheels are turning.
Should we, like, write a play and submit it?
A play?
Community theater.
That's so hot.
Be like, listen, we committed our summer to writing this.
Raina and Sabrina, playwrights.
Greenwich Cottage presents The Forks of the Appalachia. Oh my god.
I think we're it'll too win good. Tonys.
It'll get turned into a movie for sure.
For sure. We'll get to sell the rights.
TikTok will go and run with it.
I'll love it. I want to be sitting at the counter getting a salad in the background of our movie.
What should I be doing? Should I be like, I'll be a skater in the background.
So cute.
Oh my god. It's all coming together, guys.
The vision.
Anyway. Welcome back to Greenwich Cottage Podcast. It's season 3. We missed you so much. I'm so excited to do this.
Yeah.
I have a fucking whopper of a story for you guys. But before we get into that, what have you been up to since we've been on break? Anything you want to talk about? Any successes? Any manifestations that came to light or anything?
Well, I was just telling Raina that I did a spell recently with an apple, and then I used the seeds and planted them. Also, I don't know if you know this, but apple seeds have to go through a process called stratification, where essentially you do like the wet paper towel, but then you stick it in the fridge for like a month. And it needs to, like, go through that cold process to be able to sprout.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's been in the fridge for a month, and now I have a nice green little shoot coming up.
It looks gorgeous. It's doing so well.
Thank you. So I like to consider that a sign of a spell that's working.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Mine's a little less lighthearted.
Okay. That's fine, bestie. That's fine.
I had a friend recently reach out to me and tell me a really crazy story. It was like a big important moon. I think it was the strawberry full moon.
Mm-hmm.
And I just put on like a really light karmatic manifestation
to
that person. Yeah. And they ended up in a car accident in the hospital. They're fine. But then they also lost their job right after. And I'd like to think that I maybe had something to do with that.
You know, karma in the hands of a fair witch.
Yeah, the I'm not making the universe give you anything it doesn't think you deserve.
Exactly.
I don't tell it what to do.
Yeah.
I just tell it where to go.
It's just a reminder. Hey, this person's been going around unchecked a little too long.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay, bestie, because I also have a jar of like, okay, so just like, I can't get over things. And so then, you know, randomly throughout the day, I would just like start thinking about people who have wronged me.
Is it the autism or the Virgo?
Yeah, great question. And I just like didn't want to keep like obsessing over it. So I made a jar with a wasp nest that was on my porch, but then I raided that bitch to smithereens.
Mm-hmm.
I neutralized the threat and put it in the jar, as well as with some peppers and my very favorite cheap hexing ingredient, which is everything bagel seasoning.
Period. Listen, y'all, it has everything you need in it. You don't need to buy a million different spices if it's all in one.
And that's why they call it everything. Yeah, and so then I just, like, put names in there, and I mm-hmm. give it a good shake, and then I leave it in the dark to, like, simmer and rot. Yeah.
You should throw some mud in there, too.
Ooh, great. I could do that. It's muddy out.
I have two separate jars. I'm saving them for somebody special because
ooh, nice.
I haven't used them yet. I have one jar mm-hmm. with two very well preserved, I guess is the word, wasps.
Hot.
Stingers intact.
That's awesome.
Full bodied, wings and everything.
Very cool.
So I have a jar with a couple of those in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have another jar with a couple of also very well preserved spiders.
Ooh.
So I haven't used them on anyone yet.
Well, you want to be on Raina's bad side.
But I have them just in case.
Just in case.
So don't crest me. Yeah, I haven't really been up to anything crazy. I started skating again.
Yay.
I feel like I'm kind of around the point I was before I had my fracture. Everybody keeps telling me I look really comfortable every time I skate.
That's awesome.
That I like look better every time I skate and stuff, so that's cool. So I'm getting my confidence back up on wheels. Got on the board a little bit. That hurts my leg way more than quads does. Yeah. Because you need a little more like ankle control for like turning and stuff. Oh, today I am drinking. This is not sponsored, by the way, but it should be. I want to say that every time I say this isn't sponsored.
It should be.
Because it should be. Not even money. Just give us stuff and we'll talk about how good it is. We if it's good. I'm not going to lie.
Stuff.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, though. If it's not good, I'll tell people. But if it's good, I'll tell people it's good. But today I'm drinking Jet Life THC soda. It is grape lemonade. It is 50 milligrams of THC and it is called Fly High. Or I guess it just says Fly High 21 plus. Please enjoy responsibly. No, I'm enjoying.
Apparently that is a rapper's company that produces that.
Oh, cool.
I think his name is Currency.
Sick.
IDK. I don't listen to him, but you make a damn good grape lemonade.
Yeah,
sir.
The fuck you do.
I had one of those while I was like floating on the lake recently, and it just is like the perfect fucking day. They taste so good.
It's so good.
And it gets you fucked up.
I'm excited.
Enjoy.
In other news, we might have an editor join us this season, and we'll have more info on that as it comes, because I'll probably mention him a lot, because I'll tell him to cut stuff.
That's cool.
Or I'll tell him not to cut stuff out. I'll be like, Hunter, don't cut this out. What's Leave this in.
What's his name?
Hunter.
Hunter? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so we might have that happen. That'll be really cool. That'll take a load off my fucking shoulders. And that'll...
Raina does a lot.
That'll give us so many more opportunities to do so much more fun stuff. Because I feel like I've been holding back on a lot of stuff I've wanted to do with this show because I just haven't had the faculties to do it.
Yeah.
But he does. So, that'll be cool. Anyway, I don't know. Anything else you want to say? Anything else you want to yap about before we move on? Do you want to just jump right in? Like...
No,
it's been so long. It I don't like we have so to get back long. Into the groove of it.
You know what, if anything comes to me, I'll just blurt it out.
And here's the thing, guys, if there's anything that you want to know
Ask
about us,
DM
yeah
us.
Yeah,
pop in our DMs.
Don't be weird about it, but pop into our DMs.
If you ask
or
for
emails
pictures of our feet, I'll kill you.
Unless you're gonna pay good money for them, then
that
here you go.
Everything.
But yeah, if you guys have any questions about what we've been up to or anything, if there's anything you want to know, feel free to ask.
Yeah, or just yap at us.
Just yap at us. Maybe one day we'll hang out and go live together on Instagram or something.
So fun.
And let people talk to us about whatever they want. Anywho, do you want to jump into my story?
Because
it's really crazy. Okay. I'm so excited. So I got this story from Delaney, one of my best friends. I was talking to them about my planning and stuff like that. And I was like, but I don't really know what I want to start with. I was like, I want to start with something that really just like just grabs people in. And they recommended this person to me. And when I looked it up, I read like the first sentence and I went, oh, yeah. I'm doing that.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
So,
the anticipation is killing me.
Today I'm going to be talking about a double homicide.
Okay.
But specifically, the double homicide of Richard Wendorf and Naoma Ruth Queen.
I don't think I've ever heard these names before.
Well, good. Naoma Ruth Queen, and this took place on November 25th, 1996.
Okay.
And what I really want to get into is who murdered them, because boy, is it interesting. So there were four people involved in the murder, and these four people were part of a vampire cult.
Vampires? Vampires? Tell me more. Tell me more.
They were called the Vampire Clan. And they, for this excursion, not like in general, but for this, I don't want to call it an excursion. It was a murder. But
you're making it sound way too fun. This is not a cruise ship, bestie.
For this mission, they were led by Rod Farrell.
Okay.
And Rod was from Murray, Kentucky, and he was born March 28th in 1980. And apparently, as most murderers, he had a rough childhood. His mother separated from his father and was involved in a number of fleeting marriages. Rod rarely spent time in one place as the family moved between Florida and Kentucky on a regular basis. And his mother was even charged with solicitation to commit rape. Ooh. When letters surfaced showing her trying to convince one of his friends to have sex with her.
Oh, my God. Yikes. So she's not a great mom.
No, no, no. By the time he was 16, Rod had become a highly destructive teen, apparently. He wasn't only using drugs, but he had turned his bedroom into a shrine to the occult.
Okay.
And court documents claimed he had been observed taking part in satanic rituals and self-harm, going as far as to carve an upside-down cross onto his own chest.
Oh, baby, you can be emo without being this dramatic. You could just go to Hot Topic. It's, like, way less painful.
He had to be hardcore. Ugh. His mom was trying to fuck his friends.
I guess in that situation, one does have to pull out all those stops.
He said once in an interview, quote, "My bedroom was an array of the darker side of the occult." Hold on, I need to get into like a voice for this.
Oh, yeah. Put on the voice.
"Such as the Necronomicon, the Satanic Bible. I had upside down crosses. I had broken shards of glass laying about in the corner. I had hooks of metal cables wrapped around looking like Hellraiser."
Wow. End quote. That
first guy of all, okay. Why? How is it hardcore to have broken glass in the corner? Like, how is it dark and twisted to have?
That's just an OSHA violation.
Like, it's just messy. Like, yeah. What do you need it for? Why is it there? What happened? I don't care. Pick it up. Like, and it's just, I don't know. It just feels very much like a I'm not like the other guys kind of thing. Like,
welcome to my dark and twisted mind.
Oh, man. Oh, God. I'm trying to remember what the fucking meme was.
Crazy straws. Are yeah. Straws to him.
Ha 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 ha! God. Crazy straws are just straws. Oh, you're man. Did you guys miss us? Oh, God, that was good. Okay.
Thank you.
Also, apparently Rod became obsessed with role-playing games at a young age. And this started when he began playing Vampire the Masquerade with like-minded individuals. He developed a fascination with the idea of vampirism. Who doesn't?
Yeah, right?
And
in there.
So I looked it up. Vampire the Masquerade is a tabletop role-playing game.
Okay.
So think like Dungeons and Dragons, I would assume.
Cool.
And it takes place in a fictionalized modern day gothic punk world where players take on the role of vampires, also known as kindred. And the game is set in the world of darkness where vampires struggle to survive, maintain power, and preserve their humanity. And they must also contend with their own animalistic natures, vampire hunters, and other vampires.
Can I just say, this game sounds horny.
I was going to say, it low-key sounds super fun.
Yeah, like, I mean, it does, but that's because it sounds horny.
You have to battle with your own animalistic natures.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Ooh.
Okay. Don't mind if I do.
So all of this stuff that he surrounded himself with as a teen led him to the delusional belief that he was a 500-year-old vampire.
Oh.
And his name was Visago. And it sounds like an Alfredo sauce brand to me. Visago? I don't know. It sounds like an Alfredo sauce.
Yeah, it does.
Have the Visago pasta.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Coated in our creamy Visago sauce.
Yeah, we would order that at Vinny's.
We would. Let's see. So he found like the cult through avenues such as this, like other people playing the game,
mm-hmm.
and other like events for people playing the game. So it was like, it started kind of nerdy. And then they turned into little fucking freaks. So the group tended to meet and perform most of their blood rituals at a location dubbed the Vampire Hotel.
Super hot. I want to stay there.
This was an abandoned former home that had been left to crumble in the thick woods of Kentucky Lake.
Never
Kentucky?
Mind.
Never mind. It was a secluded area because it was hidden from view and rumored to be haunted. Mm. Reportedly, the vampire clan would not only drink each other's blood there, but also torture one another for sexual gratification.
Okay, dungeon/blood bank.
So they were just like having orgies and drinking blood as vampires do.
Right.
They're living their truth. I'm going to be honest. This is what vampires would do.
I think this sounds like every Dragon Con. Like, I'm being so for real right now.
Isn't there... Wait. Didn't one just happen?
I think it normally happens in August.
Oh, so it's coming up.
I think it's coming up.
Cool.
I could be wrong, though.
I want to go to a Ren Fair.
I've never been to a Ren Fair.
We should go to one this year.
Okay.
Should go to one of the ones where the milkmaids pour the
yeah.
drink. And, yeah.
Yeah, we should. Okay.
And have our partners watch us do that and be like, okay.
Okay. I want somebody to put their face in my boobies.
Oh, I'm sure that would not be hard to find.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, they were just having orgies, drinking blood.
As one does.
It's unclear how many individuals were involved in the group. They think it was like around 30, but they're unsure. But some of their activities have been apparently recorded.
Oh.
They apparently... OnlyFans.com/vampireclan. That's probably
yeah
yeah that's Go find out, guys.
That's where you go to watch a 30-person orgy.
But and they all look like vampires.
Yeah.
So they apparently also met at locations including cemeteries, and the way they took part in blood rituals involved self-harm and drinking the blood after from each other.
Yeah, that's very unsanitary.
Yeah. So, like I said, although they think that there may have been 30 people involved in the clan altogether before the murders took place in 1996, five key members were part of the investigation. These included good old Rod, Scott Anderson, and Charity Keese, who were all 16, as well as Heather Wendorf, the daughter of the victims, and the leader of, like, the actual group, which I'm trying to see where I put her name. It might be lower. It was actually led by 19-year-old Dana Cooper. So, four members of the vampire cult had traveled from Kentucky to Florida, and they were originally planning to pick up Heather, who wanted to run away from home and join the group. And Rod and Heather had, like, known each other through his travels.
Okay.
And so, like, they had been speaking that way, and she's like, I want to run away and join the cult. So Rod and Scott Anderson arrived at the home alone, while Heather met up with the two other girls who made the trip, and they went to go see Heather's boyfriend, or somebody's boyfriend, one of their boyfriends, so that they could say goodbye and run away with the cult. I'm not exactly sure why, but Rod and Scott had decided to go into the home. And I'm going to say I'm not sure why they decided to go into the home, because I'll get more into that later. But they ended up going in the home through the garage, and along the way picked up a crowbar. And before Richard, Heather's dad, could even wake up, because he was taking a nap on the couch, before he could even wake up, Rod beat him multiple times with it, fracturing both his skull and ribs, almost instantly knocking him out and killing him shortly thereafter. When Naomi, the mom, found Rod and Scott in the home moments later, Rod bludgeoned her to death, bashing her head with the crowbar. He claimed in his confession, however, that his original plan was to allow Naomi Ruth to live, but she attacked him by lunging at him with a cup of hot coffee.
Good for her. Put up a fucking fight.
But that made him mad, so he changed his mind and he killed her. Richard had burn marks in the shape of a V, and it was said that the V was Rod's symbol, which he accompanied with a dot for each person he considered to be in his vampire cult.
Oh, V for Visago.
Visago. After committing the murders, Rod and Scott picked up the girls and left Florida, and they crossed four different state lines as they attempted to keep a low profile from police and ensure that they could start a new life as a group in New Orleans, where there are real vampires.
Right. Remind me, what year was this again?
1996.
You know what? I think the X-Files did an episode based on this case.
Oh, really? That's cool.
I'm, like, fairly certain.
That's cool. But Heather's sister ended up finding the bodies of the parents and obviously notified authorities. So despite the fact that Rod admitted to the killings and the others in the group confessed to knowing part of the plan to the murder, he has maintained that it was never his initial plan to just kill them, which is why I'm like, then why did you go? Yeah. But that's why I'm like, then why did you go in the home?
Yeah. Well, what were you gonna do?
Yeah.
Also, like, you still killed them, so it doesn't really matter what you intended to do.
No. But he says instead that he was simply trying to steal their car so that he could use it to get Heather out of what they believed was an abusive home.
I'll be honest. If my 16-year-old was like, I'm going to go live on a compound of real-life vampires where all we do is give each other
we torture each other,
have orgies and like give each other bloodborne illnesses, I would lose my fucking mind.
But at the same time, as an angry 16-year-old, if my friend had told me that her parents were abusive,
I get it.
I would maybe lose a screw or so also if I was him, I guess, you know? Yeah. But also, like, do we believe that that was the case? Do we believe that she said that it was an abusive home? Or do we think that he just said that to say that?
Right. Or that he, like, convinced her that it was. Mm-hmm. Like, your parents don't get you. They don't understand you. Yeah.
They're not letting you do what you want to do. They're not letting you do what you're meant for.
You're 16. You're an adult.
Yeah. Look at me. I'm out here living my life the way I want to.
Yeah. By having orgies and giving each other bloodborne illnesses.
I have been... This How reminds dare me,
they tell you you can't do that?
This reminds me of just high school and being 16. And I've been rewatching Degrassi. Mm-hmm. Man, oh man. Man, oh man. Is that show a gem? Oh my God.
I'll be honest. I've never seen it.
I've been watching it long distance with Delaney. We'll like FaceTime each other and watch it. And they're the first person I've ever gotten to, like, watch it with me. Mm-hmm. And they're hooked. They're drawn in. They, like, I think we watched it, like, last night or the night before. And they were like, why is Degrassi kind of good? And I was like, dude, I know. It gets you. But we've been, since we're adults now.
Yeah.
We've been playing If You Cringe, You Drink.
Oh, that's
while
fun.
Watching it. And we're watching the later seasons where it's, like, less dramatic and more cringy.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to keep up with the times. And it's just, like... No. So there's way more cringy moments. So we've been getting like kind of fucked up pretty fast. We'll get like two episodes in and we'll be like, I think we should stop drinking for a little bit, actually. Yeah.
I bet that makes it so much more enjoyable to
it
watch.
It does. It's so fun. If once I stop drinking, I'll start taking hits every time I cringe.
Love that.
But yeah, it just like there was an episode where this girl and this guy who have been together for years had sex at prom and then literally broke up the next day. And while she's sitting there crying about it, the morning announcements come on and it's a video it's like an interview that one of the newspaper people or whatever took for them and was like, where do you guys see yourself in 5 years? And they're like, in love, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that is literally such a high school moment, though, to be sitting there crying about a relationship that just ended while other people are still, like, reminiscing on the relationship they thought you're still in.
Salt in the wound.
Yeah. And I was just like, man, that's so real. Yeah. I was like, but it just reminded me of what it felt like to be in high school. And I was like, God, I do not miss that at all.
Not at all.
It was everything was so awful all the time. Anyway, so yeah, they ran across a few state lines. They were eventually arrested in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
So they almost made it.
Almost. They were so close.
But they got arrested in Baton Rouge. One of the members, Charity Keese, contacted her mother asking for extra money. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they're children.
Right.
And
what do you mean? Vampires don't have jobs.
In doing so, she informed the police of their location and where they were planning on staying. And the officers were waiting there when they arrived. Rod pleaded guilty to the murders almost immediately. But some people think that this may have been a ploy to move the blame away from the other members of his vampire clan. Mm. He wanted to protect his people,
I
guess.
Taking the fall.
He only implicated Scott Anderson in the actual crime. Prosecutors alleged that Dana Cooper and Charity Keese were aware of the plan to kill Heather Wendorf's parents, and they were charged with third-degree murder in Florida. Even before police began searching for Rod, though, and the others after the murder, they had already been under investigation, or Rod had already been under investigation.
For what?
According to court documents from the time, Rod had apparently, this is kind of sad, forced his way into an animal shelter in Murray, Kentucky. And once he was inside, he allegedly proceeded to attack dozens of dogs.
Oh my God.
Killing two and injuring another so badly it had to be euthanized.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's, like, for sure psychopath behavior.
Yeah. So, the four were all found guilty, obviously. But meanwhile, despite attempts by police to get Heather to confess that she wanted her parents dead, she continued to maintain her innocence and no charges were ever brought against her. So she got away with all of it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Following this trial, Rod was placed on death row. And during his 2 years there, he was the youngest person on death row in the United States.
Wow.
But his execution was canceled following a ruling by the Florida Supreme Court. The court determined that that at 16, criminals are too young to receive a sentence of death. And so in 2000, Rod's sentence was continued to or commuted to life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. Later, a new court ruling declared juveniles cannot be given such a sentence, so it's possible that Rod's term in prison could be limited to a matter of years. But as of right now, he's still in prison, and he is now 44 years old.
Wow.
So it's definitely been longer than a few years. But, like, he could get the possibility of parole if he tried. I don't think he would, but I'm like, he could apply for it, essentially.
Yeah. I'm curious to know, like, if now that he's an adult and, like, his brain is finished developing and he's away from those other people, if he knows, like, oh, wow.
Yeah, I wonder if he's still living in the delusion or not.
Yeah.
Okay, listen to this.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
So, in 2019, mental health experts testified the week before in resentencing hearings that Rod Farrell has changed. Well, Rod says he's changed too, and so is his mom. So does his mom. Apparently, his mom has also gotten better. She's no longer described as a mentally ill parent.
Wow.
Oh my God, the boy was 14 that she tried to solicit for sex.
Oh my God. Okay, so they're doing some reforming together.
Oh, he had a fiance in 2019.
Oh.
And she testified that her relationship with Rod is beyond romantic. She's a teacher in Texas.
Okay.
He has taken many re-entry classes and even taught some courses. He also obtained a wastewater treatment license so he can get a job. Hmm.
I'll be honest, with this one, I do kind of think, like, it's possible to be rehabilitated.
Yeah, I mean, he was 16.
Yeah, and, like, you know, if all you guys are doing is, like, surrounded by these people who are also in this delusion,
mm-hmm.
and y'all are just constantly probably getting high and fucking, and then you're like, wow, I've spent 30 years in prison as, like, a normal human being, and now I realize, like, all that was fake.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that, like, changing you.
Whoa, wait, what? His wife or his fiance? He met his fiance because she befriended him while visiting her husband in prison.
Oh? So she's got a type.
So, yeah, there we go. So that's the story of Rod Farrell, the 500-year-old vampire known as Visego.
I was so not expecting that. I hope you know that. But I loved every second of it.
I'm so glad. I thought it was perfect.
Yeah, perfect. It was. Especially because we were talking about vampires earlier.
I know. That's why I said, wait till I tell you my story. It's going to get even more Twilight. Okay, do you want to spark up before we do yours?
For sure.
Okay, let's take a break. Baja is not lime. I need you actually to... I'm recording now. Can you actually just repeat what you just said? Because...
the whole story from the beginning?
No, you don't need to do the whole story, but, like, you got a Baja and you noticed that the flavor was lime?
Yeah, it says lime flavored.
Lime flavored?
Yeah, and it's like it... I didn't think it was, but then I tasted it and I was like, no, I guess that is lime, but it just... When it's mixed with the Mountain Dew to make blue, it tastes blue.
It tastes blue.
It doesn't taste like lime.
I would need a Baja in front of me to really judge this. I don't believe you, though.
You know what ruins, like, my whole day? When you go to Taco Bell and the Baja, like, syrup is off.
It's, like, almost out.
Yeah, and you get, like, large, yeah, like, you get the drippings
of the Baja syrup. Hate it. And it's, like, basically water.
Yeah, it makes me want to die.
Yeah, it actually is. Yeah, that ruins my day also. Good point.
Thank you.
What have you brought to the table this episode?
Well, right now the Olympics are going on. Or are they about to go on? I don't really remember.
Did everybody poop in the river like they said they were going to?
Oh, that's a great question. Let's look that up.
Hey, Broskies. Ladies. Break it up.
Wow, so the mayor did get into the river.
Did everybody poop in it?
I don't know. It doesn't really, like, say, but, I mean, I guess. I'm sure they did. But, yeah, she did swim in it. Wow. But anyways, I'm, like, the least patriotic person.
Yeah.
I could care less.
Yeah.
However, I was trying to, you know, I like to be on theme. And so.
Wasn't Cody Simpson in the Olympics?
I have no idea.
Do you know who Cody Simpson is?
Yeah.
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 Little Aussie singer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was in the Olympics. No, maybe not like these Olympics, but I think he was like in something Olympic.
Interesting.
Anyway.
Anyways. I was going to do two shorter stories, but then this was like the first one I saw. And the more I read, I was like, wow, there's, like, a lot to talk about here. So yeah. I ended up just doing the one. And we're going to talk about Sonia McCaskey.
Sonia McCaskey. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sonia McCaskey was born February 9th, 1939 in Elgin, Scotland.
Scotland.
I couldn't find out a whole lot about her early life. She had a son named William in 1957, so she would have been 18.
Mm.
And a daughter named Kim in 1962. They had different fathers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Period.
At the age of 21, Sonia was asked to participate in the 1960 Olympics as a skier for Great Britain's team, which is especially impressive because she was the only woman on the team.
Period.
And she's 21 years old.
Okay.
Single mom.
Okay.
Doing it all. That year, the Winter Olympics were hosted in Squaw Valley, California. So Sonia moved with her son, she had not had her daughter yet, to a duplex in Reno, Nevada, about an hour away from Squaw. So during the weekdays...
Sorry.
No, it's okay. Please do that whenever you feel the need. So Sonia moved with her son. I already said that part. During the weekdays, she worked as a secretary at a meat company, and then on the weekends, she would give ski lessons at Slide Mountain Ski Resort. She had a happy life with a strong community of neighbors who thought she was really smart, kind, quiet. On the evening of April 4th, 1963, 24-year-old Sonia decided to invite a few of her friends over to her duplex. William was spending time with his father while her youngest, Kim, was at a babysitter's house. Mm-hmm. So she sent the kids away, having a girls' night. They're trying on clothes. They're having fun. Yeah, they're just girls being girls. And then they go home. Kim goes to bed. And that was the last time she was ever seen alive.
Oh.
The next morning, the babysitter was concerned when Sonia hadn't picked him up, so she called the police and asked them to check up on her. When Officer Mort Ammerman went to check it out, he was like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna go deliver a message to, like, a hungover woman from her babysitter, like, hey, come get your kid.
Mm-hmm.
But when he entered the duplex, he found a gruesome scene. Oh. Lying beside the front door was Sonia's heart.
Oh.
Oh. while other body parts were scattered around.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there was like a blanket in the middle of the floor, and wrapped up in the blanket was her foot.
Oh?
Mm-hmm.
Why was the foot wrapped?
Great question. The rest of her body was found inside a cedar chest with three knives sticking out of her torso.
Oh my god.
Yeah. She'd been decapitated, and her head was wrapped in undergarments beside her body.
What the fuck?
Yeah. This is fucked up. This was when I was like, oh, we've got a lot to talk about here. Her mattress was covered in blood, leading them to believe she was attacked in her bed as she slept.
Oh my god.
Sonia's cause of death was strangulation with a garrote, as well as the stab wound she received.
With a gyat?
Garrote? Did I say gyat? No. You just have something on the brain?
you pronounced it like so eloquently.
Thank you.
You said, did I say gyat? that was good. Okay.
I'd love to be a voice actor, you guys. Since there was no forced entry, police assumed her murderer was somebody she knew, but they spent several days interviewing people and it didn't really amount to anything. The only thing taken from the house was an expensive camera with the manual left behind, so that's how they knew it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Days later, the camera turned up at a pawn shop after 18-year-old Thomas Lee Bean sold it for
$10. $10?
$10.
What the hell? Although, I guess back then, maybe that was a lot.
That's true. Maybe we can assume it was like $50.
$50, okay.
$50. Thomas was a local high school student who was, like, kind of a loner, and he liked to walk by himself in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
He initially ran when taken to the station, but police caught him again, and he just straight up confessed to Sonia's murder.
Oh.
When they asked him what happened that night, he said he had been walking around when he initially noticed her Triumph sports car in the driveway. He was checking it out and then went to her backyard where he intended to steal underwear off of her clothesline and perhaps rape her.
Oh, maybe just also.
Yeah, while I'm here.
Yeah. What the fuck?
He told police that he had had fantasies about that since he was 6 years old.
Hello?
Yeah, sir?
Six?
Six. So while he's back in the backyard looking at the clothes...
It's like not even working by six.
Yeah,
like... You don't even have full kneecaps yet by six.
What have you been watching?
What the fuck?
Weird. So while he was in the backyard looking for clothes, he saw that her back door was open. So he took his shoes off and crept through her house.
Oh, how kind.
Yeah. He kind of like stood above her in her bed and watched her sleep for a while.
Okay, Edward.
Yeah.
Mr. Cullen.
Edward Core.
When he watches you sleep. Okay, sorry.
He then put the garrote around her neck, and which is when she woke up.
What is a garrote?
So it's what JonBenet Ramsey was killed with. It's like wooden, like, handle,
uh-huh.
Two strings,
uh-huh.
And you like tighten it like that.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's how, I mean, I, for some reason, I think I block out a lot of JonBenet Ramsey's case because it's just so upsetting.
Yeah.
I've seen so many documentaries on JonBenet Ramsey and I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
We think the brother did it, right?
I think the brother did
it. I think the brother did it.
I don't know. I think there's something weird going on.
Yeah, that family's strange. Anyway. Yeah.
Anyways. he put the garrote around her neck. She woke up. He started to rape her. Oh, we should probably put a trigger warning in this episode.
Okay. I'm sure I have one.
Yeah.
Already recorded.
She begged him not to kill her as she had a baby to look after.
Oh.
Yeah, but he killed her anyways and continued to sexually assault her body.
Oh my god.
Yeah. After she was dead, he just kind of like hung out in her apartment for a little bit. He listened to her records. He took her car for a joyride.
What the fuck?
Yeah, he just stayed there for like 5 hours.
What the hell?
And then he...
Isn't that a thing, though, for like psychopaths or something? Like, they like to stay or like... experience the life of the person that they kill or what they get like this weird attachment. Yeah.
He's like, I guess I'll just be here. Then he just like cut her open and took off the head, threw it in the he cut her open, cut out her heart, threw that by the front door, cut off her head, threw it in the trunk. Put her body in the trunk, and then cut off the foot because that's what was hanging out.
Oh, good solution.
Mm-hmm. During Thomas's trial, his defense tried to claim insanity, but the prosecution had two psychiatrists, and they convinced the jury that he knew exactly what he was doing that night.
Yeah.
They agreed. He was found guilty of first-degree murder and sentenced to death by way of gas chamber.
Whoa.
However, very much like your story, he also got sentenced like only a year later. Like this was super quick.
Yeah.
Due to a law change in 1972 that outlawed the death penalty,
mm-hmm.
Thomas was given a life sentence without the possibility of parole in Northern Nevada Correctional Center, where he died at the age of 72 last year. But it's because he was also, I guess he was 18. I don't know. Something about how old he was, mm-hmm. I believe. But yeah, he died in prison at his old age.
Welp.
Welp.
That sucks, yeah. I guess. I don't know.
Sucks to suck.
Yeah. Well. Well, dang. Do you think she would have won? Do people think she would have won?
Well, this was like a couple years after the Olympics.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this was like 2 years after.
Did she win?
I don't know. Let's look it up.
I would assume the headline would say Olympic winner dead.
It just says probably after not. The Olympics.
Then probably not.
Yeah. I don't think she was that memorable.
Mm. Well... did anything happen to her son?
I guess he just lived with the dad.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to the daughter.
Hmm.
What a weirdo. Yeah, and he didn't know her at all.
Yeah.
He just
so
was
we haven't...
there and she happened to be in the wrong place, wrong time.
We weren't around for the discussion of the man or the bear, but it is correct. The bear.
Always the bear.
I don't know why people, like, I remember seeing something that said, like, men are getting angry that we're choosing the bear because they don't understand consent even in a hypothetical situation.
No, literally. Literally. And also, I just feel like it's very shitty to invalidate women's real experience, lived experiences.
Yeah.
Like, no, we're scared for a reason.
Yeah. One of my... clients was talking about how she had a boss who was being inappropriate.
Ugh.
And her boyfriend was upset and was like getting upset with her, and she was like, you think I like want this to happen? And I was like, yeah, no, imagine how we feel just going to work and having to deal with that,
right?
Like, we're just going to do our jobs and we're having to deal with harassment and assault and all of this, like, other bullshit. Just doing our jobs every day. Like, we're not wanting this to happen. We're not asking for this. We're not inviting this. We're just literally living our lives. Yeah,
we just exist. And misogynists hate it.
I saw, fucking, So if you guys don't know, for those of you who don't know, who've never bought like merchandise or anything like that, like custom made merchandise or anything, Sticker Mule is a very popular sticker company.
I saw that.
They recently sent an email to every person who's ever bought from them, basically being like, so Trump was shot, guys. Womp womp. And basically was like, we're having a sale. I encourage you to buy Trump merchandise.
So gross. Blah, blah, and blah. Weird.
So many people are scared to come forward as Trump supporters. Blah, blah, blah.
No, myself they really included. Aren't.
No, they're not. And like he's like, myself included. And I remember somebody had posted it and I swiped up on it and I was like, oh, I wonder if he could comprehend or imagine how people of color feel every single day for simply existing.
Period.
It's
bestie.
Not a political standpoint. It's not a, you know, whatever you want to fucking call it. They are just born and have to live like that.
Truth.
So get some perspective. Go touch some grass.
Go outside, perhaps.
Go get your dick wet, maybe. Whatever you need. And come back down to reality because, huh? Hello? What is going on? Anyway, obviously don't buy from them if you don't want to support that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I've never used them before, I don't think.
I have not.
And I obviously never will now. But yeah, so anyway. I don't know what started that. I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that, but.
That's okay. I'm just following along.
We are a podcast.
We do be yapping.
We do be yapping, and we do be talking about topical situations. So tell all your friends that we're cool.
Well, on that note, I think we wanted to, did you want to release some of last year's ick? Or
yes, I
or
do.
Or invite manifest for this new year? What do you want to do?
So I want to, make sure that we have a smooth recording season.
Yeah, I would like that.
That we don't have a million and one interruptions and disruptions and all the things.
Yeah.
So I hope for that. I hope that we both just get the icky people out of our lives easily and very quietly and effortlessly. Yeah. I hope it just kind of like happens for us.
I manifest that we get the spread. I manifest that people listen to us and want to be besties and yap with us.
And have fun.
Yeah, you know, do things. Do some witchy things. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for fall.
Oh my god, I'm so excited.
So excited. And guys, it's our 1 year anniversary. You guys have been listening to us for a whole year. That's crazy.
So crazy.
Thank you to all 2000 something of you. That's super cool.
That is so cool.
We're very excited for this season. We really hope it kicks off.
Yeah.
And we hope you guys love it. And if you do, you should share it with all your friends and leave us a review.
Yeah.
That'd and be cool. If you have any questions, comments, corrections, concerns, suggestions, questions, anything like that, you can email us at greenwichcottagepod@gmail.com. Got it right on the first try.
Wow.
And if you want to see what we're up to and see like little preview clips of episodes and all that good stuff and pictures of our cats and...
Oh, yeah. So many pictures of our cats.
All the fun things. You can follow us on Instagram at GWCpod.
Cast.
Dang it. Almost.
So close.
I swore this season was going to be different, and I'm already letting you guys down. I'm so sorry.
No.
Okay, we'll yap you later.
Yeah. In the meantime.
Be sure to light up.
And look out.
And we love you.
Welcome back.
Bye.